I wanted to give a not as perhaps not as thorough a shiur as we've given previously, but also not just kind of ha'aris either. You know, I originally said this would be more of kind of a ha'aris shiur, but then the more I was looking into this topic, there's more here than just ha'aris. And on the other hand, because Daf Beis is a funny kind of gemara, so there aren't so many meaty things even to give ha'aris on. But I just wanted to make one ha'ara I will give you, no pun intended, is that I told you that I remembered from years back that the Meiri commented that Daf Beis is a really funny gemara. So I don't. He may not have been the one who suggests that it's from the Gaonim, but the Meiri does say, if you're interested in a great line, the Meiri does criticize, if you will, or very much question the Gemara with all the dukim of the Lashon, and he has this line about he doesn't understand how the Gemara is analyzing the Lashonos of the Mishnah, ki'ilu it was chakuk b'sinai. He's treating the Gemara, how come you use this, the Mishnah, this word, not that word, as if you were reading a pasuk in the Torah, and it's like taking the Lashonos of the Mishnah too seriously. He's not happy with it. So that I did remember that the Meiri had some dig at Daf Beis. I just never gotten the exact dig wrong. But anyway, there are two things which are of note, still on Daf Beis. One, which is what we'll discuss now, and the other, Mitzvah Shem, will be Tuesday's shiur. Tuesday's shiur, which comes immediately after today's topic, is a very interesting question the Gemara has, that perhaps there's a Hava Mina, that a woman can be married against her will. Hava Mina, Bal Karcha, Kamash Malan, she can't. But even the Hava Mina is astounding. And I want to use that as a springboard to discuss the whole role of women in Kiddushin and what level of das she needs and to what extent she's clearly not an equal partner in the Kiddushin, but to what extent is she active at all in the Kiddushin. That, Emir Hashem, will be, I hope, Tuesday's shir. But right before that, though, when the Gemara is still having its funny discussion about the Lashon of the Mishnah, so the Gemara makes the question of why is it, if we compare the Mishnah in Perek Aleph and the Mishnah in Perek Bet, in the Mishnah in Perek Aleph, it talks about the woman is niknes, but in the second parak it uses the Lashon of Mitzvah, of Kiddushin, and the Gemara says, well, one is the Lishna Daraisa, so that's what starts off the Masechta, but in the second parak, the Mishnah, the Badavka, wanted to highlight the Lashon of the Rabbanon. What's the Lashon of the Rabbanon? So the Gemara says that the word Kiddushin, which is what we're familiar with, that's really only the Rabbanon. Not the Kiddushin is the Rabbanon. The Lashon is the Rabbanon, but it highlights something which is true, obviously, on the Torah level. It's the Chachamim came up with that term to highlight the fact that when you get married, when you do Kiddushin, you are Aser La Akula Alma Kehektish. You're making the woman Aser to everyone like Hektish. And on terms of the basic Iser, we know that to be the fact. The one halacha that really changes on a Daraisa level when you give the wife the ring, because it's not mutter yet for you as a couple to live together, the one halacha that changes is that she becomes usher to anybody else. She would have the status of the Eishes Ish. If she would be with another man, that would be like a form of adultery. So the isser itself, that's not what's new. But what is really suggestive and fascinating is the Gemara's line of usher akul alma ki hektish. The truth is that this could be put into a larger category. We have many halachos or Gemaras. To a certain extent, you could say like this, where we have the famous kuf, the kuf, and this is kudit. And whenever you have one of these kufs, you have to ask yourself, how literally and how exact is that kuf hadimyon? Is it a real equation? Mamish, a woman is kehektish, or is it just more of an analogy? Is it an equation, or is it really an analogy? And you have all sorts of halachas, shtika, kohoda, this one, kudit. You always have to ask yourself that kind of a question. The truth is that there are some other Gemaras in Shas, which without even, not even media, just as throughout other Lashonos, which also highlight this point. The Gemara in Ni'ila, Andaf Yud Ches, Amar Aleph, and Yutes, speaks about a woman who commits Eishes Ish, or a man who is with a married woman, is someone who is, it's like doing Ni'ila Behektish. It's like if you misappropriate hektish funds, that's the Isser Me'ila. So if you're with someone else's wife, that's like Me'ila the hektish. Gemara Nedarim Adav Chavtes speaks about woman as a certain Kiddushas Guf, and talks about also the way you end the marriage, just like Kiddusha of a carbon can't just disappear. Kiddusha of the Isha doesn't just disappear. If someone could be Mafkia the Kiddusha. Again, the question with these, even though you don't have the kaf adimyon, so to speak, like Argamar, but again, the question is, how much of this is really, rhetorical exaggeration and drush, and how much of this is real? And, of course, the follow-up question is, what does it mean to say that it's real? Are there nafkaminas? Are there halachas that could be understood based on this equation? Or is it really just, as I say, some more just as an analogy? So I want to start off by mentioning the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah, which I have, and Simi Sherman says he has the Yad Ramah, so if anyone wants to take achrayas for using it this year, he doesn't mind lending it to us. I just don't want to have it lying around, because then it'll get lost. But Simi Sherman has the Yad Ramah. There was one in the shelf yesterday. I don't know where it is today. So the Yad Ramah I mentioned in the Sumar Makamas, it's also quoted by the Tosos Rosh. In the new Yad Ramaz, which is the one that I have, was put out like what they call the scientific Yad Ramah by the Ofek Institute. So they have first the parish of the Yad Ramah, and then they put in Rashi, which is in block print. Then they have in the Rashi print a second thing called Perush, and then in the parentheses they wrote B'Tosos Rosh. In other words, they found this in Tosos Rosh. It wasn't in the original manuscript of the Yad Ramah, but the Tosos Rosh quoted from the Yad Ramah. So when they put out this more critical edition of the Yad Ramah, they included it. So if you had seen the Yad Ramah in its original, or in the you would have seen both, but if you only saw it quoted in Tosos Rosh, you only saw half. And it's important, because I think, I would love if more people saw it inside to tell me anything. I think, if I'm not reading too much into it, I think that he might be saying two different things in the two, exactly our question. On the goof of the text in Yad Ramah, he says as follows. He says, just like Hekdesh is mutter to some people, the Kohanim, or whoever's working in the Beis HaMikdash, the animal is, the carbon is mutter to, but it's usher to everybody else. Hu Hadinami, this woman is now mutter to one person, and usher to everybody else. Now on a pshat level, what the Yad Ramah is struggling with, is what some other Rishonim to struggle with, which is if you say Hariat Mekudesh Es Li, how that means Asra Kolel Mekahekdish. If Hekdish, the Lashon Kiddushin, means Asr, so does that mean that you're saying she's Asr to me? Midrabanan, Kala Bula Bracha, but Midaraisa, she's already, an Eish Hazish. So the Mefarshim all just read it in, it means no. Ba'avor, through me, you become Asr everybody else. It didn't mean Mekudesh. Kiddushin doesn't mean Isr Mekudesh Li to me. That's just a little pshat lahar. The Rishon's going to be struggling with that. And if you take a look at my Yad Ramah, you'll see in the footnotes, he makes that point. But the bigger point, what I'm making, is that the way I'm reading it, the way I understand the first statement of the Yad Ramah, he is understanding that the statement of Asr Kolel Mekahekdish is just an analogy. It doesn't mean that Eish Hazish, that Kiddushin is Hekdish. What it means is, just like in Hekdesh, you have a phenomenon where the same object, the food, the meat, is usher to some people and mutter to others, which is, you could say a phenomenon. Usually meat is either kosher or not kosher. Of course, the Yad Ramah didn't know about kashrus in Israel, where the same food is kosher for some people and trade for other people. But logically, if we lived in a normal universe, that's a weird thing to have something that's mutter to the Kohen but usher to other people. So too, analogously, you also have something called Anisha Mekudeshes. She's mutter to some person and usher to other people. However, what's striking is that when you see this Perush, which is what the Tosfos Rosh quotes, he says the same thing. It's just reiterating the same thing, but he adds a Lashon. You have it, Yoni? What is the Lashon? He says, she is Miskadeshes. He adds a line. Do you want me to find it? Do you see what I'm referring to? You see what he puts the other month? Yeah, Tevon Shindiskat. Again, maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe he's saying the same thing, but here he says, "Perish kigon kachi kachim shumutarim kohanim, etc., etc." But yet are usher to other people. So too, Aisha zu kevan shiniskatcha hutra labayla ben aseres lacheru. So the question is how to read that word shiniskatcha. If it just means that someone gave her kiddushin, then it means the same thing as what it says in the original Yad Ramah. But if he means, which the way I was reading it, I think he means, she becomes Hekdesh. She is Niskadesh. Then her status has changed, just like the animal, the carbon has changed. So it could be, if I'm reading it correctly, that the two different Lashonos of the Yad Ramah are exactly our Chakir or our question. If you take a look at the Ramban, and I gave you the Ritva on the Mar Makomos, the Ritva is discussing on Daf Beis, Amid Beis, also talks about this. And the Ritva also seems to be very clear. The Ritva seems to be very clear, Ramban like him as well, that there's some element of real hektish here. Because the Ramban in the Ritva are discussing the next line, the one which we're going to get to next week, which is the next mamash, the hemshech of the Gemara, which says that havamina you can't marry a woman bal karcha, kamashulon you can't. I mean, havamina you could, you might. So we are going to be more interested, frankly, next week in havamina. But on that maskon of the Gemara, that you can't marry a woman bal karcha, so the Ramban and the Ritva, they connect the two lines of the Gemara. Asar kulam kehektish, and you can't marry a woman bal karcha. What's the connection between the two? Says the Ritva, just like we have a halacha, that ein adam makdish, or ein adam oser davar she'ein or shelo, I can't say your animal is hektish. So too, I can't make a woman against her will hektish. She's the baal davar over herself, just like you're the baal davar over your animal. Because like I can't make your animal hektish, I can't make her against her will. Now, you don't need to say that to answer the Gemara. Especially in light of the Gemara itself, which was comparing, for example, the two Mishnayos. So if you're just working off the Mishnah that Beis, that Isha is nicknames, it's a Kenyan. So you can't do a Kenyan Bal Karcha. You didn't need to bring the whole analogy of hektish into it, especially it's the next line of the Gemara. We already moved on. So the Ritva says, no, the reason a woman can be married Bal Karcha is because it's hektish, and you can never do hektish Bal Karcha. So there you have already a real comparison with a Nafkamina. It's not a Nafkamina that anyone debates, because no one holds you can marry a woman Bal Karcha. But that's how he explains that halacha. There's so many other easier ways to explain that halacha. But the Ritva goes out of his way to throw in a reference to hektish. Now there's a Rashi in Gittin, which I mentioned, I don't know if anyone even got to it. It would have been very complicated to go through. Could have taken, but just because the whole background of that Rashi is very hard. But I'll give it to you, I'll try to give you the 2-minute version. The very difficult Gemara in Gittin on Daf Pei Beis Amad Beis, 82b. Where the Gemara is discussing, let's say a person says, I'm going to divorce my wife, I give you the get, you're muteris to everyone, which is the lashon of the get, hayat muteris lakol. But I, for whatever reason, say you're muteris to everyone but Ploni. There's a machlokas, if I remember correctly, I think it's over there, there's a machlokas whether such a get works. That's on the books in the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, by way of comparison, what if you did a kedushin like that? Kedushin usually means you're oseris to everyone, except for me. But now I say you're oseris to everyone but my brother. Does that work as a kiddushin? So the Gemara in that light discusses the following case. To try to illustrate it, the Gemara brings an analogy, if that's not complicated enough, from Yibum. The Gemara says, what if you have a woman who married one man like that? Reuven says, you're married to me and usher to everyone else but my brother Shimon. Then Shimon marries her, gives her money of kiddushin, and says, you're mutter to everyone and usher to me and usher to everyone but my brother Reuven, who, by the way, she was already married to yesterday. No, they're both alive. And then, both die. Then both die. Each one married her, saying, you ushered everyone in the world but my brother. Each one did that. But then they both died. Perhaps a simon that they shouldn't have gotten into that. There's a third brother, there's Levi. The shaila is she nofelis to Yibum for Levi? Why is it a shaila, aside from the weird factor of the Gemara? Because there's a technicality in Yavamas that a woman who is who's nofelis for Yibum of two brothers cannot have Yibum from the third. Now, since when do you have a woman who's an eshesish of two brothers? So in Yavamas they come up with a weird hechatimsa to figure that out. So the Gemara here seems to suggest maybe this is also hechatimsa. If you hold like the Man D'Amar that Gittin could work in that kind of weird way, maybe also Kiddushin could work in that kind of weird way. And then you'd come up with a Hechatimsa, where at least on paper, she was an Eshesis of both brothers. And then, when she's Nafelis, then when they both die without children, she'll actually be exempt from the trifecta of marrying Yibum with the third brother. That's the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara asks that. So the Gemara rejects that. And the Lashon of the Gemara, when it rejects that, is a little bit vague. But it implies on some form, well, in our gut, it has been screaming at us for the last 2 minutes, which is, to some extent, what's going on with that second one. Leave aside, the first one is weird. How can I have this back door for my wife and my Kiddushin? But then a second man's going to give Kiddushin to my wife and that somehow works? So the Gemara implies, basically, that whatever you'll say, the Gemara wants to then say, maybe you can't compare it to Gittin. The Gemara originally said, whatever the Machlokas is in Gittin, maybe it's the same Machlokas here. Now the Gemara has a weird lashon, an ambiguous lashon. Maybe it doesn't work here. The question is, I hope I'm being a little bit clear to you, that weird lashon, when the Gemara rejects that, and it seems to imply there's a problem with the second one, how much is it, what does it mean? So the Rashi, and amazing, this is, it's a big Rashi, because he gives you the whole background. Every background I just gave you the last 2 minutes, that's in Rashi. If you want to go see it inside, maybe it'll be easier now that I gave you the Baal Peh version of it. But Rashi there gives the whole background of why there's a problem, what the Yibum background is. And then Rashi has a Lashon in which he says that the Kiddushin was Tofes for the second husband, for the brother. There was Kiddushin. But still, it's the kind of Kiddushin that technically would have not worked for Yibum. Right? Real technical Yibum stuff. The key line for us, which I'm trying to, with all of the other layers, I just want to pull out, is that Rashi does seem to imply that even in the Maskan of the Gemara, according to that opinion, even though it's always Machlokas Tanoim, within that opinion of the Gemara, Rashi implies, or maybe more than implies, that even the Maskan of the Gemara, just because there would have been a Kiddushin, it doesn't necessarily affect the Yibum, but there would have been a Kiddushin. If you look at the Chiddushi Haran, which the Yeshiva has on the shelf, for anyone who's interested, I didn't put this even on the sheet for you, the Chiddushi Haran, it's a blue version. It looks like our, you know, we're used to the Masada of Kook, Rosh Buzz. But there's also, it looks the same, basically, Masada of Kook, Chiddushi Haran. So the Ran on Gittin, on that Daf Pei Beis, quotes the Ra'ah, and the Ra'ah is very upset at this pshat from Rashi. Because the Ra'ah says, no, the Gemara was saying that the whole thing is crazy. You can't have a second Kiddushin like that. But why? Here's the key point. What does the Ra'ah say? Because the nature of Kiddushin by definition is hektish. And hektish, as our Gemara told us on Daf Beis, is Asur HaKuli Almaka Hektish. Namely, that hektish means that there's Isur. Hektish means by definition that most, if not all people, other than the Gavoha, can't touch it. It's hektish. It has a status. This second Kiddushin did not Asur the woman to anybody. Think about it for a minute. It's a kind of a weird halachic calculus. Reuven said, you're married to me, and you're Asur to everyone else. So once when she accepts that Kiddushin, she's already Asur to everyone in the world, but Shimon, who we'll get to in a minute, and Reuven, who she's now really married to. Then Shimon came along and said, you're Asur to the whole world. Does that add any Isser? She was already Asur to the whole world. And by the way, you're Mutter to Shimon, which anyway she was already married to. So says the Ra'ah, in the second Kiddushin, there was no Tosefes Isser. There's no one who had been previously Mutter to her who then became Asur. It says the Ra'ah, that's the definition of Kiddushin because it's Hektish. Somebody has to have been mutter and then become usher. But in this weird case, there was no one who was not already usher who's becoming usher. So therefore, what the Gemara really was saying is that the second Kiddushin does not tofes at all. Now, I could have thought of all sorts of reasons why it's not tofes. But the Ra'ah didn't pick those. The Ra'ah brings it all the way back to our issue. Namely, that the definition of Kiddushin is that it's a form of hektish, which he's equating with isser. And if you're not being mosif and isser, like hektish does, then there's no Kiddushin. So these are...
Just one question.
Please.
The marmokum that Hiskachi Lilchatzki...
Okay, we're going to get to it. So in light of that, Yaakov's segue, let's go back now to Kiddushin to see some, a little bit more, that's really a difficult Gemara, complicated. I'm just bringing it out to you because I want to point out that Rashi does seem to hold, again, like I was suggesting in the initial Yad Ramah, it's not really... This Asher Akalamak Hektish is just an analogy. We don't have to learn, we're not learning halachas from it, so to speak. But yet, this Ra'ah seems to be like the Ritva in our Gemara, which really sees it as a real form of Hektish. So this comes back up on Dav Zayin. The Gemara on Dav Zayin has the weird case of where you are Mekadesh half a woman. And the Gemara distinguishes, what if you say, first the man says, you're married to half of me. Which, when the Gemara gets through, clarifies and says what that really means. It didn't mean like half of me, like my left side, not my right side. What it was referring to is that midaraisa, a man's allowed to have two wives. So that's all, it was just his inelegant way of making that point. I'm being mekadesh you, but by the way, in this romantic moment, which is the highlight of your life, you've been dreaming about since you're 3 years old, looking at bridal magazines, and you went to your first cousin's wedding, you should just know, by the way, under the chuppah, that I'm reserving my right to marry another woman. You're only marrying, quote unquote, half of me. Okay, so that works because technically he is allowed midaraisa. So what about the opposite that the Gemara says? What about if he says I'm only marrying half of you? So the Gemara then says, well, that's not a proof of anything. Or so the Gemara is going to say that wouldn't work. So the Gemara says, well, why shouldn't it work? V'nivshata b'kula. Maybe the Kedusha should spread out. So what does that mean? So it's a concept based on kachim, that when you're makadesh part of an animal, the Kedusha is then nispashet, and the whole animal becomes hektish. Because it's a unit, you can't separate. So it comes along Tosfos, because I don't understand. How could the Gemara just so casually make this question of Havamina? After all, the Gemara in Temura quotes a pasuk that teaches us this halacha. It's not an obvious halacha. I presented it like a svara. If it's a unit, how can you separate the leg from the rest of the body? But the truth is, the Gemara quotes a pasuk. And I'll add, the way some others ask the same question, you see how not obvious it is, because even after the Gemara understands behema, that there's a halacha of, you know, the hektish is in the spashet, the Gemara then asks a question about an oath. So you see that even different categories of hektish you can't necessarily analogize to. But Tosfos itself just says, "What? How's it obvious?" So the answer that Tosfos gives is, "Al pi hanal." You know why it's obvious? You know how the Gemara could ask that question without bringing an independent source? Because we just said, we already know on the books it works for hektish. And Kiddushin is a form of hektish. Kiddushin is a form of hektish. If Kiddushin is a form of hektish, so then, just like hektish is, you can have a nispashet, you can also have nispashet by a woman. Now the truth is, that's like simple chop, and then you see a beautiful, and we're going to get to some tosos or shitosos in a minute, one or two other tosos, which I think also you see, tosos really takes us literally. But it is worth noting that two things. One is that Tosfos, you could read Tosfos in a way, I think this is a simple reading of Tosfos actually, in which you may be distinguishing between what lashon you use. It may not be that every condition. The Gemara talks about, you know, you could say ureses, muteres, mekudeshes, there's different lashonos. Kedushin is just the popular one. So the so Tosfos says, well, since if you're using a lashon of mekudeshes, so maybe that triggers the hektish. So that's har number one in Tosfos. The har number two, though, which is more tricky, is that where did Tosfos get that from? He got it from Rashi. If you take a look. On Rashi, on Daf Zayin, Rashi says that it's the Kiddushin, you know, that where do you get this from? From lashon of Kiddushin. So Tosfos quotes this Rashi in order to understand. So, if we're reading this correctly, it seems like even Rashi may admit that if you use the lashon of Kiddushin, then that triggers some real hektish, which then would allow for the hispashet, the hispashtos, the spreading out of the Kiddusha. So the truth is that it's a little bit difficult at this point in both directions, meaning Pashup Shad is that it should be either all or nothing. Kiddushin is an institution, is a halacha. What's the difference what language I use? That's one ha'ara. That idea that you would distinguish is really intriguing, but it's further difficult to understand, if you will, in Rashi, just because this lecha'ora, even if he only means it if you use the word harayat mekudeshes, lecha'ora, it's a little bit of a steer to the Rashi we mentioned from Gittin, which seems to say that there's no hektish slash isser. I actually saw one of the last generation, one of the big, big, real genius Rashivas in Eretz Yisrael, was somebody named Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. He was actually from the greater Brisker dynasty. You know, the Briskers go back to Rafal Shapiro. So his father-in-law from Volozhin, so he was from that line. And he was considered from the Mishpacha of the Briskers. He's also a Talmud of Mevelva. So he was a Rosh Hashiva for many years in Be'er Yaakov. There was a time where that was one of the premier yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Volbi was the Mashgiach in his heyday. And Rosh Hashiva Shapiro was arguably one of the best. Magidi Shurim in Israel was Rosh Hashiva. It was like an all-star thing. It was a tekufa, to go back to the Marsha Kolo and MTA NYU references for the guys here, the Rav Yitzchak Kohn used to try to convince the good guys to go to Be'er Yaakov. Eventually, Rav Volbi left, and it still exists, the yeshiva. His son took over, and it's not necessarily exactly, I don't know if it has the same cachet as it used to. Rosh Hashiva Shapiro was known as the big lam dunning. I saw that in his sefer, he thought this was a little bit of a tzarachion on the two Rashis. How do you put these two together? And he actually doesn't have an answer for it. So maybe there is an answer, but that's just a ha'ara. But I want to read you just, before we move on to the next point, but just to, again, this it's not a Ha'aris kind of shir, but I'm not necessarily tying up everything in a neat bow either. I don't have answers for everything here today at all. But just to point out something that I saw as a very, just a striking formulation, at least in Tosfos, again, without getting into the fact that we're pointing out that Tosfos maybe not be so cut and dry, because he does seem to imply maybe it depends on the Lashon. But just the basic question and the answer of Tosfos of, you don't need a separate drasha for Kedushin, because it's hektish anyway. So I saw, if you're interested in looking, it's actually a short piece, but you don't even need to see the whole piece, in Rav Shimon Shkup's Chidushim on the Masechta, which conveniently are in the Otzer Mefarshim as well. So in Simon Yedalid, he has the Lashon as follows. On this point, he says, Nir Nias Daiti, what do you see from this Gemara, from the Tosfos? Poshut Lahashas, to Kedushin Damyo LeKedushas HaGuf. Quotes Ayin Tosfos Sham, Mishum, here's the very important line. The inyan kinyan shall isha eino kishar kinyanim. But our Gemara with Avasar Akulamak Hektish and Adav Zayin is telling us there's not a stam kinyan. There's another element. Because in regular kinyanim, ha'isra lacheir mumishum kpedis labailim. Right, if I buy a watch and I make a kinyan on it, so it's also for you to use it. It's gzela. Why is it also for you to use it? Because I'm makpid that you shouldn't use it. If I let you use it, then you're just borrowing it. You're not stealing. The isra is only a function of my hakpada. But Isha is not that way. If I want to be Makel, you can use my wife. No. Ube Isha Eino Kain. The Isra Isha Sis Eino Toli Barats and Abal. You can't be Mochel. Aide Kiddusha Nase Hishtanus Be Isha Atzma. The Chefza, if you will, to give the expression. Lahavdi. The woman herself, her guf, changes. Lo Rak Be Hishtanus Abailim. Elagam hishanes ba'atzmos hadavar kechol kedushas haguf. Again, can you read that into every rishon that we talked about? Maybe, maybe not. But at least as a prominent achron, this is very striking, beautiful language. You can't get a stronger equation than that. The kedushin, what the Gemara meant, is that just like, it's not a rough analogy like we saw originally from the Yad Ramah. It's mamish, the identical phenomenon. Just like in a hektish, the animal has a change in its status inherently, so to the woman's status changes inherently. And then that's where you can have a havamina of his pashas. The Gemara, for those who saw it, then says, well, no, because an animal is mamish in an inanimate object, so once you get a little kedusha in, it diffuses. And by a woman, where you have her das, just because she accepted kedusha for half, whatever that would mean, doesn't mean you can automatically assume that it would just diffuse. But that's already a separate point. Okay.
Maybe there's just a technicality that an Eishes Eish is also because the Torah says. In other words, there's no necessarily something in the
key. 100%! If you hold that all of the whole Asr Akalamaka Hegdish is just some rough analogy, blah, 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 then you have to say like that. That's my point. None of this is obvious. Yaakov, that's a great point. This is not obvious. No one's forcing Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, to say this. There are other ways to read, just like when we said Kiddushe Bal Karfa. There are other easier explanations. So if, for example, the ritual, an adam is a way to tie it into Hektish, that's my point. I think that's suggestive. That's he wasn't forced to do it. Here also, Rosh Hashanah didn't have to have such a poetic, I mean, he in general waxes poetic. That's his style. You can get great quotes from Rosh Hashanah. But he really seems to be without, you know, it's almost, I wouldn't say it's an unforced error, because it's an error. The point is, it's unforced. He doesn't have to go the way he went. There is a simpler, alternative way. The fact that he went the way he did and said it so strongly and strikingly is goof on my point. Yeah.
What is it? The Gemara here says that the
Lashon
of Lashon is
Rabban. The Lashon is Rabban, not the phenomenon. See, what did it add
that you never have from
Deraisa
that made it
Asur?
Like, meaning now you say it's in her itself.
No, the Lashon of Kedushin is the fact that we refer to it as Kedushin, that Chacham came up with. The Torah didn't call it Kedushin, the Torah called it Kinyan. But the phenomenon, which if we do, which we see at least some Rishonim and Achronim do take literally, that there's a real hishtanus in her status, etc., and even in her guf. It's in her guf. She's not a chefza chavashon, but she does have a guf. In her guf is different. So that, if you believe it, is a daraisa phenomenon. That Chacham didn't add. They discovered. They didn't invent.
So
the difference.
Would be how you understood that case in Gittin.
That's one example. We're going to get to some others in a minute.
One other issue. The case where the
one brother is Makadosh for everyone but the brother.
Yeah.
And the other brother is Makadosh. How was that first Kedushin ever told? It's a Manushah.
The Gemara seems to imply that you have to really sit longer, even I admit than I did. You have to really sit on that Gemara and get it.
Because according to our Miskatcha Lechati Gemara, it's either.
All or nothing.
Pashut, right. It's right. Either Enam Kodeshes, which is Gemara.
Right, so but the Gemara is slicing it, the pie even finer.
Because, but it's in her das versus in.
No, I'm saying our Gemara is talking about one woman, all or nothing of her. That Gemara is saying, no, all of her to me, just not, that doesn't exclude everybody else.
That's the same. No, that's saying part of her is not.
Not part of her. No.
Part of her is.
All of her is to me. All of her is. So how could that possibly be? How could that possibly. So that's why the Ra'ah says, the Maskana, the Gemara says it can't be. The question is, Guva was on Rashi, who seems to imply that even the Maskana, on some level, there's a Kiddushin, even though it wasn't ossering everybody. So, it's a difficult, that Rashi is very difficult. But, we were just pointing out, I don't have an answer for how to, we're not learning that paragraph of Gittin right now. That I don't have an answer for, honestly, off the top of my head. But the only thing we were pointing out, especially when you see the way that the Ra'ah reacted to Rashi, is that the Ra'ah reacted, not because of Stam, the Ra'ah reacted because in Hektish, that wouldn't make any sense. So we were being medayik that apparently Rashi didn't hold of the Hektish. Although now in Daf Zayin, Rashi does have a mashmos that maybe at least sometimes there's a Hektish. Okay, I want to just do the last little bit so that we don't go late. The Gemara in Daf Dalet of Mevet. The Gemara here has a Havamina that again nothing's discovered in the 20th century. You know, it shouldn't be the Kedushin is only one way. Maybe the woman should be able to Mekadosh the man. The Gemara has a suggestion about that. And the Gemara says, in the end, well, we reject that because the Torah says, Ki Yikach, and not Ki Tikach. Whatever. Okay. But in that Gemara is innocuous. Maybe we'll get to implications of that Gemara, we'll get to the Dalet. For our purposes, that's a simple Gemara. What is not simple is Rashi. Rashi adds a Lashon on that Gemara, that in the Havamina, she would have said to him, Hiskadshi li. Now, if I was just reading Bikias, if you will, that would also probably be pretty innocuous. If we're saying that there's a Havamina that a woman could give Kiddushin to the man, so just like we're familiar with the man saying, Hariat Mekudeshes li, so Rashi doesn't seem to be adding so much when he says that she would have said to him, Hiskadshi li, with this beautiful Concord Rolex watch, whatever. Okay? But Tosus, whoa, that is not a simple Rashi. Tosus asks on Rashi, what would have been the Havamina that she would say Hiskad Shili? After all, what did we learn back on Daf Beis? That the Lashon of Mekudeshes means Usser. And yet, even Lu Yitzuyer, we would have had a phenomenon where a woman could give Kedushin to the man. Would he have become Usser to anybody? Not at all. Mitaraisa, he could go out and marry another woman the next day. So since there's no Isser, clearly there couldn't have been Hektish. So there would have been no point in her using the Lashon of Hariat Mekudeshes li. Even in the Havamina, says Tosfos, which can anyways rejected a split second later, but even in the Havamina, says Tosfos, there would have been no point in saying Hiskachi li, because the Lashon of Hektish, of Kedushin, always refers to Hektish. Hektish equals Isser, and he's not being Usser to anybody. Because that would be against the Torah. So it's not true.
Why?
Not logically, it's just axiologically. It's just not true. Vida writes the woman's allowed to have more than one wife. And Torah Ben Gershom came around, you could have more than one wife. So, if she would have given. In other words, let me just.
Why can't she say it? Why can't she say it without
asking me? Because she can't go against the Torah. So she can't asser him on everybody if the Torah matters him. What the Gemara was having a Havamina for was that the same phenomenon which occurs under our chuppahs, where we give her the ring and she becomes asser to everybody else. That would have happened when she gave him the ring. The only difference would have been who gave who what. But what would happen is the same. She would become Usser and he'd still be Mutter to other people. So Tosfos says, given that reality, which is an immovable force, because that's just what the Torah said. Torah Ben Gershom figured out a way to remove the force. But D'oraisa, that's an immovable... Because Ben Gershom was making a Takana Rabbanon. A wife, a Stam woman giving a man a ring cannot do that.
So why couldn't all.
But they didn't.
Why couldn't they?
Not they couldn't. They didn't.
Well, wouldn't a Tanai be chal that she's marrying him. But I don't still know what it says.
No, I don't think. No, she, he could agree.
He would have to agree. He,
but that's still not us. She's not ushering him, though. He's he's making a promise. I would call that a haftacha. There's still no iser. I mean, or if, maybe it'll be ishmi tam neder. I don't have to think about nedarim. Was that, is that like a neder al mashakas la Torah? I'm not even sure exactly. That's a hafla question, which I'm not prepared to give you a definitive answer on off the top of my head. But it's still whatever. It, even if we could come up with a hafla, it would work. And I'm not sure we can. I have to think about that more. It still wouldn't be. I mean, you see from Tosfos, it still wouldn't be equivalent to what happens to the woman. And Tosfos is saying is that that's not just incidental. The point to bring out here, even if you don't have this whole hektish shtickle Torah here. Everyone admits that when a woman has kiddushin, she becomes usher everybody else. That's a subtle point. So maybe I wasn't clear before. That's also a movable fact. That's just what the Torah said. What we're adding here is that the Gemara says, and according to some Rishonim, take very literally, is that the reason for that phenomenon is because her body has changed some way, her guf, her essence has changed, and has become on some level a form of hektish. That you don't have to say. You know, if you just looked at the Shulchan Aruch and it says when you get Kiddushin, he's still looking at other people, she's not. Those are just facts. No one could argue with those on either eyes of level. The fact is, though, the Gemara suggests, and some Rishonim take literally, it's not just a rabbinic flurry, you know, it's not just a rabbinic hyperbole. It's literal that the reason that she's ushered other people is because of this, to use Rav Shim Skop's Lashon, her essence changed. So if I just want to move on because I don't want to go late. I can stay afterwards if you want. But I just want to point out that l'chora, this may be Rashi and Tosfos l'shitasam. As if you Rashi get new held that it's not really Isser, that just like Rashi could conceive of a case where a woman could create a kiddushin with a second husband, even though in that second kiddushin no new person became Usser, so to hear, Rashi apparently could conceive of a Lashon, even in the Havamina, of a kiddushin, even though it wasn't ushering the man. Notice no one became usher then either. And Tosfos, just like in Gittin, in the Ran and the Ra, Tosfos who can't imagine that, because for Tosfos, kiddushin equals hektish, which equals isser, which is by definition, which is universal. So too, kiddushin. Everything we've been talking about is only theoretical. In the real world, I hesitate to say this since, of course, we're recording this year, but I still remember when my son, was in first or second grade, and he learned the creation story, and then, V'huyim Shalbach, and he came home from school saying that, Abba's the boss. I tried explaining to him, that's only in class, not in the real world. In the real world, she's the boss. Anyway, okay, quickly two more things, and then we'll wrap up. Hopefully I'm going to go late. I saw a few of you guys were working on the Nedarim Sugya. So the Nedarim Da Vavam Beis discusses the idea of Yad. The idea that if it's clear what you mean, in Nedarim you could use like shorthand. This is like the Chazal were like with Nevuah, like already figuring out what text would be like. All the shorthand stuff. Right? So if you know what you mean, you could use a Yad to make a Neder. So the Gemara on that one, Mamish, the first line of Vavam Beis asks the question, do you have Yad for Kiddushin? In certain cases, if you just used like a one word thing, but it was clear what you meant, could that make a Kiddushin? That's the suffix of the Gemara. So again, here, the many Rishonim ask the Kasha, forget the Maskona, how could Gemara even have a Havamina the Yad to work for Kiddushin? If you look in the Sugya Nedarim, the reason that Yad works for Nedarim is a special Xeris HaKasuv. So why would you have the Havamina the Yad works for Kiddushin? There's no Xeris HaKasuv that says Yad works for Kiddushin. So Tosfos is there, Tavavam Abeis, Dibur Masli Yesh Yad. Says again, Tosfos L'shitasam, this will be our third Tosfos, because there is a concept of Yad for Hektish, that there is a Mokar for, and since Kiddushin is Hektish, just like Kiddushin is Hektish, so too, just like we saw from the Ritz at the beginning of this year, you can't do Kiddushin Balkarcha because you can't do Hektish Balkarcha, so Mamish, the same type of Lashon, Tosfos here says, the reason you would have a Havamina that Yad could work for Kiddushin is just like Yad works for Hektish, Yad would work for Kiddushin. I just want to end by giving you just two quick Mara Makamos where you see this resurface in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not just, not only is it not just Drush, it's not even just theoretical Rishonim. In the Shulchan Aruch, at least in two places that I found, maybe there's more, at least two places that I know of, this is brought up at least by some Nosei Kalim. So number one is the Shulchan Aruch himself in Simin Lamed Hei Si'if Tes discusses a Shaliach, who says, starts, comes to the woman, hi, knocks at the door, I'm you don't remember me, I'm Yankel's roommate from yeshiva, and he couldn't make it here because he has more important things to do than this most important thing in your life. But he did want that I should give you kedushin, and hopefully you'll say yes. Oh my gosh. And then someone brings out the violin, and then he loses himself, and when he gives her the ring, he says, Hariat Mekudesh is Li. Instead of saying Hariat Mekudesh is Lecha, you know, low or whatever. That's that Sifrin Shalom. And the Shulchan Aruch discusses all the different phenomenon. Whose money, whose ring was it? But the bottom line is, in certain cases, there may be a Havamina or a Suffolk, maybe the Kedusha, or maybe even really, since she did accept, she heard the words Li, and she accepted. So let's say it was a good. So let's say the Shliach pulled a fast one and used his own money. And he did say Li. So there are certain cases of Shulchan Aruch Paskins that would be working. But the Shulchan Aruch does say that in other cases, obviously it wouldn't work. Ain't kind of filu base michush, no kiddushin. And the Shulchan Aruch himself already says, and then the Gra in Sifkat and Chav Beis amplifies it, it's a teeny little Gra on the margin, says, you know why? Because Kiddushin is hektish. And hein hektish betaos. The Rosh seems to say this in the beginning of the paragimel of Kiddushin as well. That Kiddushin, again, there's different types of ta'us. There's like four or five variations in that Shulchan Aruch, and in some of the cases, she is married to the Shliach. But in some cases, for sure, it doesn't work if it's a clear ta'us. And again, you could have come up with simpler reasons. Right? If I buy a house by accident, there could also be a ta'us. I don't need to give, why do I need to give the reason from the world of Hektish? But again, the Shulchan Aruch himself, and especially the Gra, schlep in Hektish to explain a real concrete halacha l'maisa. And then last but not least, the Ramah, Siman Chav Zayin, Sif Hei, the Ramah has a quote from a Tshuva in Rishonim that basically, if you don't use the usual Lashon, it's talking about all sorts of other, again, more casual texting type of Lashonos, that a person would use when he's being Kaddish's wife. And the Lashon of the Shulchan, the Ramah is, based on a Tshuva and Rishonim, early Achronim, I can't remember where the Tshuva is from, that you can't just have a Lashon where you say this money is Kiddushin, or through this, it can't be present tense. It has to be through this you will become Kaddish's. It can't be in the present tense. It has to be in a Lashon Atid. That's the Lashon of the Ramah. Where does the Ramah get this from? What a weird kind of a thing. So the Mepharshim explain, because there's a Gemara in Gittin on Da'at Lam and Bet. It says that's the law for Gittin. Gittin has to be Harizeg Yitech. This will be when you'll take this, it will be your get. Not that when I'm giving, not when I'm saying it, it's already your get. It's when you'll take it, it will be your get. So just like a get has to be future, and we have a Hekesh Havaya Liyitzia, we learn certain halachas of Kiddushin from Gittin. So too, Kiddushin has to be in future, not present tense. This is the Ramah. The irony is that if you look in the little footnotes, you know the parentheses of the other Ramah. It's the Tshuva from the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is one who quotes that. But yet the Beis Yosef doesn't quote it in Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah quotes it in Shulchan Aruch, and he got it from the Beis Yosef. Fine. Comes along, the Chalkas Mechoke says, I don't understand, it's not true. He disagrees. This is one of the few things we saw today, show, which is mamash practical, halacha l'maisa. The Chalkas Mechoke says, you have to be choshesh on the Kedushin even in that case. Why? Because you're giving me a comparison to get. I have a better comparison. Kedushin is hektish. And in hektish, if you'll use a lashon when you're designated something, not that this will be hektish, but you'll say in present tense, it is hektish, that works. I am shaman for the Maram Bekamos and the proofs. But for our last minute purposes, the Chalkos Mechokik is a fact. It works. So there you see, again, Chalkos Mechokik is taking very literally the equation to hektish and using that for halacha l'maaseh and nafkamina. If you're really interested in that topic, take a look at the Avni Meluim and that Machlokes. The Avni Meluim defends the Ramah, but I think if you look carefully at the Avni Meluim, even when he's defending the Ramah, it's for technical reasons. And maybe the way a mirror works in Hektish is not the same way a mirror works in Kiddushin. Lamaisa, the result may still be Hektish, but maybe in this particular case, maybe the Chagav Sfoke got wrong. But the idea that it could be really Hektish and that can make an Afkamina, we saw both from the Gra before and definitely from this Chagav Sfoke. All right, the Gota Shabbos.